Today on Seculo, in a curious move, President Biden has tapped Vice President Harris to attempt and secure the southern border with Mexico. We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There's about five other major things she's handling, but I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There's no question that this is a challenging situation. As the president has said, there are many factors that lead president to leave these countries. And while we are clear that people should not come to the border now, we also understand that we will enforce the law, and that we also, because we can chew gum and walk at the same time, must address the root causes that that cause people to make the trek, as the president has described, to come here.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so the same person was laughing about the border on Monday, gets tapped by President Biden the day before he has to face the press, after mass shooting, after a after the border, the border crisis, and all this has been, you know, festering, and he hasn't really addressed it directly. But now he'll just be able to point the direction to his vice president to answer his question, because he's placed her in charge. But just listen to this, how she has moved on this in the last 72 hours. This was Vice President Harris asked about the border on Monday.
Will you and the president be going down to the border anytime soon?
At some point, absolutely, we will go down to the border, and I've been down to the border. And our Secretary of the Homeland Security, Alex Mayorkas, has been down there twice. Senior administration officials have been down there. And yes, we will go. But the reality also is that, in addition to the border, we also need to deal with the root causes.
Okay, so she didn't want to deal with the border on Monday. We want to deal with root causes, whatever that means. I guess we're going to now, it's not, it's Mexico first policy, or Honduras first, or Guatemala first. But by same interviewer, 2 days later, Gayle King, because the media loves him, gives him the softballs, sets up a different Vice President Harris, who will later that day, yesterday, be chosen by Vice President Biden to lead up an effort she said wasn't that important on Monday. Take a listen.
Rightly or wrongly, people are coming in record numbers because they believe the Biden administration has encouraged certainly children to come. What are you going to do about that? It's chaotic. Some are calling it a crisis. And you all, your team is under fire because both Republicans and Democrats said, look, if you're going to change the Trump policy, the previous policy, at least have a game plan. And there doesn't appear right now to be a game plan.
Well, okay, look, it's a huge problem. Yeah. I'm not going to pretend it's not. It's a huge problem. And are there, are we looking at overcrowding at the border, in particular of these kids? Yes.
You know, so there you go. And then later that day, she gets appointed to lead a task force. Now, she is someone who, as a senator, we could play this sound in the next segment, said that ICE was the KKK, was the same as the KKK, and went through this long discussion with the director of ICE. So this is someone who has bad-mouthed the people who put themselves, their lives on the line to enforce our immigration laws, who try to handle these crises, and now she's going to lead the effort, which will fail in a miserable way and be horrible for the country.
Andy, let me ask you this quickly. We only got a minute. You work with law enforcement a lot.
Yes.
And have for 45 years.
Yes.
What is it, when someone says that about law enforcement in a general statement, ICE is the KKK, what does that do to law enforcement?
Well, it demoralizes them completely. It renders them absolutely as low as they can possibly go, because you're telling them, you law enforcement, and she is making the statement about Ron Vitiello, the head of ICE, that you're the Ku Klux Klan. What do you think that does to the morale of law enforcement officers who are out there every day putting their lives on the line? Not very good.
We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. What are your thoughts on Vice President Harris taking over this position and the Biden press conference today, you know, which will be peppered with a lot of softballs, but I'm not sure he'll handle those very well either. 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rinnell is going to be joining us too later in the broadcast, and our matching challenge going through the entire month of March at aclj.org. Donate today. Double your impact.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So the person who's been tasked, not the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, there's already people whose job it is to focus on these issues at the federal level. I mean, you know, they have entire departments that have been created that can focus on these issues that have consumed entities like ICE and that's the Department of Homeland Security. But in an interesting move, to say the least, President Biden has put in Vice President Harris, who was cackling about the border earlier, then downplaying the crisis and saying it was really the root cause problems that, you know, what was happening in Guatemala and Honduras, and that's what you have to solve. And then by Wednesday, she's appointed to be the person who's going to deal with the problem inside the United States. And this is, you flash back to 2018. It's about a 50-second bite. So she's Senator Harris at the time, a hearing with the acting ICE director, and Immigration Customs Enforcement. Take a listen. She walks him down a path that ICE is somehow the same as the Ku Klux Klan. Now, ICE is a federal law enforcement agency. It is one of the divisions of law enforcement. The Ku Klux Klan was not part of the federal government. It was not an agency put forward and funded by the Congress of the United States. ICE is. But take a listen, because she's now going to be heading up all of these efforts.
Well, the Klan was what we would call today a domestic terrorist group.
Why? Why would we call them domestic terrorist group?
Because they tried to use fear and force to change political environment.
And what was the motivation for the use of fear and force?
It was based on race and ethnicity.
Right. Are you aware of the perception of many about how the power and the discretion at ICE is being used to enforce the laws? And do you see any parallels?
I do not see any parallels between
I'm talking about perception.
Officers and agents.
I'm talking about perception.
I do not see a parallel between what is constitutionally mandated as it relates to enforcing the law.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
I see no...
Are you aware that there's a
that
perception?
That puts ICE in the same category as the KKK.
Okay, I want to jump in here. So let's retrace for a moment what has transpired. So the president has said that he wants Vice President Harris to be in charge of dealing with this immigration crisis at the border. That's not my word. They would never call it a crisis. This comes, of course, as younger asylum seekers, people crossing the border, are completely overwhelming the system. I mean, totally, you're seeing it on nightly news. Limited because the Biden administration doesn't want the media there. Then he assigns Vice President Harris to run the administration's policy and efforts to stem the flow of migration, specifically as it relates to the Mexican border. And according to officials, Harris would focus on stemming the current flow of migrants on developing a larger strategic partnership with Central American countries based on values of respect and shared values. Meanwhile, what you just heard that Jordan just laid out was just 2 years ago, the now Vice President of the United States comparing the perception that ICE is the KKK. Harry Hutchinson is our director of policy, senior counsel at the ACLJ. Harry, that I find two analogies you should never utilize. Saying this is just like the Holocaust or saying they're the KKK, because those were two unique and horrific moments in history.
You are absolutely right, Jay. I think what we are witnessing is the emergence of the first presidency in U.S. history led by an infant. Only an infant would name a person who calls ICE agents the equivalent of the KKK. Only an infant would name such a person to head U.S. border policy during this crisis. This crisis includes 13,000 children. And guess what? These children are now being held in cages. And that is the resumption of the Obama-Biden policy. So the Biden administration has issued a number of policy reversals with respect to the Trump administration. Trump administration policies were indeed working. And now the Biden administration essentially has created a policy that ensures that cartels, drug and human trafficking cartels, have become one of the leading profit centers in the United States. And that is an outrage, and it is clearly an outrage to listen to Vice President Harris, and I think it's hugely ironic that she is now essentially the head of ICE.
There is no, yeah, I mean, they're talking about an irony. Now, there's nothing illegal about assigning the task to the vice president. The president, Andy, has that authority under Article 2.
I have no question about that. I have no, the issue is it the right person? Is it the person who has consistently expressed a desire to enforce the law and not flip-flopped all over the place? And do you assign somebody this task who compares the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency with the Ku Klux Klan? I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but Jordan, she's done it. I would be curious to get Than's comments, but there's something I'm trying to figure out, and I don't know if we know the answer to this. Is there, at the border right now, there was all the criticism of child separation, and we know there are a lot of children. Are those children coming over this time without their parents versus last time it was
Was made up last time. I don't think there was child separation. Yeah, they use the child term very broadly. They include 15, 16, 17-year-olds, which, I mean, are children under legal statutes but are teenagers.
Yeah.
Oftentimes being used by cartels to smuggle and part of trafficking. And there's a wide range of what trafficking means, but you see, you can traffic in goods, traffic in people, sex trafficking, drug trafficking. The list goes on and on. But what we do know is that there are all of these teenagers, a lot of teenage males specifically, stuck in facilities, testing, by the way, outrageously positive for COVID. Like,
oh, it's unbelievable.
Everybody they're testing. Now, it makes sense because they're stuck together. They haven't been vaccinated and they have not, they have not had any kind of separation. I mean, you look at just listen to what Lindsey Graham talked about last night with Sean Hannity by 26.
Pod 3A, according to your reporting, is supposed to hold 80 people. There were 694 children in Pod 3A being managed by two Border Patrol agents. God bless the Border Patrol. God bless the custom agents who are dealing with the Biden administration at the border.
So in 2018, while now Vice President Harris, she was then Senator Harris, was serving in the United States Senate. She decided that she was going to vote against a bill that was would have put the Dreamers on a pathway to citizenship. It also would have appropriated $25 billion for the construction of the border wall. She voted no, and she said during an interview this, "A wall will not secure our border, and I remain concerned those billions of dollars may also be used to implement this administration's anti-immigration agenda, one that targets California and its residents." This is the justification, Than, that she gave for voting no to a bill that would have provided a pathway to citizenship of sorts to Dreamers, or at least put them on a legal pathway, and secured our border. And she voted no. And that's the person now heading this up.
She's got a long track record of having that policy position, Jay, which makes her exactly the wrong person for this decision. Look, if you kind of zoom out, I think there are two major things that are informing this crisis right now. The first are policy signals and decisions, things like stopping the construction of the wall, things like signaling they're going to reinstitute catch and release. All of those policy decisions, Jay, say to people, now is the time to come, no matter what the administration is saying. The second thing, and I actually think this is significantly more, a significantly larger factor than the policy decisions, are the personnel signals and decisions that are being sent. Of course, President Biden being president is number one, but Jay, the two other ones that are huge on this were the selection of Alejandro Mayorkas to be Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, a notorious open borders guy, and then this selection, the selection of Vice President Harris to lead this task force. Jay, someone who thinks that ICE, someone who is carrying out their constitutional and statutory duty to secure the border, is the same as the KKK. If that doesn't send a signal that magnifies the crisis, Jay, then nothing does.
During the presidential debates in 2019, then-Senator Harris, there was a group question asked about decriminalizing illegal border crossings. Her hand went up in favor of decriminalizing. Now, again, Andy, law enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, law enforcement looks at that and then just throws up their hands and saying, what are we supposed to do? I mean, the vice president of the United States, then a candidate for president, says, I think we should decriminalize it. Well, what do you do with it? You don't have a civil action against somebody who's come over the border illegally and sit down there and take depositions. These are crimes that are committed. They're criminal acts. They're in the United States Code. They're statutory provisions. You're an ICE agent. You're sworn to uphold the law. That's right. What you're supposed to do.
Folks, we come back. Rick Rennell will be joining us talking about these issues as well. 1-800-684-3110. We'll start to get to your phone calls, too. I want to encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. A matching challenge runs through the entire month of March. As we come to the end of March, you still have time to donate and double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We're taking phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell is joining us now, our senior advisor for national security and foreign policy. Rick, I would ask you this right off the bat, is because you're from California, and so you know these border states that feel the burden of this immediately when this max group of people starts being dropped off into cities, towns. Usually they're small towns and cities. With no work, no infrastructure to keep them in place, no one to take care of them, and it's the catch and release policy of the past that was halted for 4 years, and things really slowed down at the border. But just it's astonishing how quickly we get back to 600 kids in a place built for 80, you know, and COVID spreading rapidly through these camps. It's unbelievable how quickly bad policy can turn into bad actual outcomes.
Yeah, it's the Biden border crisis. Let's be really honest about it. Look, I'm troubled by putting Kamala Harris in charge of this for a couple of reasons. One, she is the queen of ignoring laws that she doesn't like. She doesn't listen to laws that are passed by Washington. She does this and she calls it sanctuary cities, this nice name where it says, you know, you can ignore the law and I will protect you. I will be your comfort. Well, that's anti-democratic. The idea that you would tell people that they can ignore a law and be safe for ignoring that law is outrageous. And for the media in Washington, D.C. to put a nice name on it by pretending that it's a sanctuary is really offensive. That's the first point. The second point, Jordan, is that you've never seen somebody like Kamala Harris who defines Hispanics as illegal. It's really outrageous. Everything that she talks about and does assumes that Hispanics and Latinos are all just illegal, trying to jump in front of the line. And that's not the case at all. First and second generation Americans supported Donald Trump's strong border policies because they waited in line. This is all about waiting in line. And let's be very firm on this. The United States of America is the most generous place when it comes to citizenship. We give 1 million people a year the ability to become U.S. citizens, but there's probably 20, 30, 50 million people who want that same opportunity. So we have to have a line. To assume that people get to jump in front of the line is anti-Hispanic, anti-Latino, anti-immigrant.
I want to ask you this, Rick. In a February 2019 podcast, she said, because this affects California too, she said that the arrest of undocumented youth by ICE was a quote unintended consequence of a 2008 San Francisco policy that she supported. Now it ends up a lot of this is not true, but great shock there. But you're in California and you've got a problem in California. How is this impacting California?
Look, I went to elementary school in the Bay Area in a little town called Redwood City, California. And what's happened to the Bay Area, San Francisco area, since I was a child is really atrocious. It used to be, San Francisco used to be the best run city. It was clean. It was known for being clean and safe. And now it's overridden with homeless people. It's sanctuary policy, which means it's reckless. Anyone can do whatever they want. They get to ignore the laws, and there's no punishment. Now we're appointing prosecutors that literally are openly bragging about ignoring the law. This is a dangerous slippery slope, and everyone in California, whether you're a liberal, a moderate, or a conservative, are feeling what's happening in California, and they don't like it.
But do you think this is just a move by Joe Biden? I mean, he's got a Department of Homeland Security. He has a secretary there. But to kind of put this on her, he's got his first press conference today. I mean, I've seen from Monday she's laughing about the border and she's putting it off as really, oh, we got to go to the root cause. It's not really the crisis that's happening inside our country. By Wednesday, her tone has changed, and now it's her responsibility, so he can kind of deflect to Vice President Harris on anything involving the border because he didn't want anything to do with it.
Well, first of all, let's be honest. It's going to get worse because you've got a far left person who's going to be implementing far left policies. Kamala Harris's idea of open borders is going to be a disaster. Again, I go back to the fact that she's always ignored the people who are waiting in line. It's like waiting in line is not a good thing. She doesn't talk about it. She doesn't reward people who wait in line. She actually has policies that reward people who jump the line. And that's only creating a supply. And it's basic supply and demand. And what's going to happen is now the U.S. government is going to have to respond to all of these line jumpers, people who are ignoring our laws because it's sanctuary city. It's this nice name. And shame on the D.C. media who keep falling for this sanctuary policy. It's anti-democratic. It's ignoring our laws. And, you know, if this is going to be the standard where whenever you're elected, you just get to ignore laws, we are in for an implosion of this country.
I have a quick question for Andy Economo just on something Rick said, and that is that, you know, prosecutors, and Jordan, we're talking about prosecutors bragging that they're not applying the law.
I was a prosecutor all my life, and I never bragged that I ignored the law. What I bragged about was that I enforced the law and that I prosecuted people who I felt beyond a reasonable doubt a jury would convict, but I never said I'm so happy that I'm ignoring this law and that I'm ignoring this prosecution that should have taken place.
And this is a problem you've got in California because you've got a lot of DAs that think this way, or no, I wouldn't say a lot, that's not fair, but there are a number of them. And you also have an infrastructure problem in California. And California, listen, I've been to California a lot, and look, in every major market and smaller markets, California is our strongest support base for the ACLJ. But, Rick, you've got an infrastructure problem in California that you're bringing to people's attention. That's serious.
It's a real serious problem. Let me just give you one example that's really outrageous. We have changed our economy in the United States by looking at the science and deciding that fracking is safe. Took us a long time to convince the Democrats to look at the science. But when they finally did, they came around and had to admit that fracking is safe. So then fracking allowed us to really dramatically expand liquid natural gas exploration. And now we are an energy exporter. This has amazing consequences for the Middle East and our foreign policy. But California, Washington State, and Oregon are not participating in the LNG explosion of the United States economy because they won't allow a simple terminal to be built anywhere on the West Coast. We don't have an LNG terminal that can take LNG and utilize it with China and Asia and sell to countries that need it, that will lower their CO2 with this clean energy, that will be able to have a trade with a clean energy and trade with us as we sell them clean energy. Yep. So the idea that we don't have an LNG terminal is too much, and I think it's got to change in the West Coast.
You know, but then the West Coast is a big population base for the United States. It's a national security issue and energy independence as well. Rick, we appreciate it as always. Great insight. So glad that you are a senior advisor here at the ACLJ. Jordan?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, to come back from COVID, we have to have the cities like L.A. and San Francisco, New York, others come back.
Yep.
They have to come back, and it takes that kind of infrastructure. It's going to take even more. We come back second half hour coming up. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Our matching challenge, double the impact of your donation this month at ACLJ.org. Right back. Take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Sekulow. We are talking about, you know, two things. One is, of course, Vice President Harris being chosen by President Biden, which she has the power to do, but it's a bizarre person to pick. It's bizarre because in the Senate, she called ICE the KKK. As a candidate, you know, she's open borders, thinks we should decriminalize border crossing, illegal border crossing, by illegal aliens. So, you know, she's going to somehow solve this crisis. And there's also a major humanitarian crisis that she was laughing about earlier in the week. It's the 600 people, they keep saying kids, but imagine 680 teenagers in a place built for 80. So, you know, hundreds of them testing positive for COVID. So the secure, how difficult that becomes for the government officials in place there, the Border Patrol, the ICE officials who are now, you know, having to deal with COVID, immigration crisis, because we wouldn't seal our border like every other country in the world has done under COVID. How about, I mean, even if they want to be open borders, under COVID, they all suddenly became, you know, yeah, close the borders. So if I can't fly all over, why are we letting all these people walk over? But Frank has a interesting, he's been holding on line one. I want to go to Frank in Florida. Hey, Frank, welcome to Sekulow. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. My question is, and this has been brought up, what about Title 8, United States Code 1325 and 1326? Have they been abolished?
No, they're just not being applied because they are not considering these illegal aliens. Those are laws about illegal aliens, not people claiming refugee asylum status and putting in asylum claims. So that's how they're getting around existing laws on the books that would immediately either return these people, fine them. If they tried it the second time, it's even a higher fine, or even imprison them.
Yeah. So Jordan's right. They're not applying it. And Harry, this goes to a fundamental aspect of presidential power. They're classifying this in such a way, and then they will also say prosecutorial discretion. So they will say we've got resources. But this is a redefinition of an immigration policy. There is no immigration policy. It is an open borders policy. They're just having to send Vice President Harris down there is because they got a mess, and even the liberal media is saying they've got a mess.
Absolutely. And I think it's clear beyond question that most of the illegals, in my opinion, who are crossing, who claim alien status, do not qualify for alien status. But I think it's very difficult to deal with if you have an administration that believes in falsehood and duplicity, and that, I think, unfortunately, characterizes the Biden administration.
Listen to this statement from Senator Harris, then Senator Harris, now Vice President, at the Democratic primary debates on July 29th, 2019.
I will also immediately put in place a meaningful process for reviewing the cases for asylum. I will release children from cages. I will get rid of the private detention centers.
Obviously, Andy, she's not.
No, I mean, you know, she's going to do all these things as a presidential candidate and said she was going to review the cases for asylum, release children from cages. Well, Lindsey Graham has put the lie to that when he says Pod 3A was built for 80 and is now holding 694 children. So what have you done about that? Nothing.
So it begs this question, Thanon, that what is the plan in Congress? What are they looking at that we need to be fully aware of right now?
Jay, they will be looking at a comprehensive legislative plan to back this policy. I mean, quite honestly, that's where the House and the Senate are right now. So we're going to have to fight against that. Jay, I would say two quick things. Frank brought up the statutes about removing illegal aliens. Well, that's ICE's job. That is their job to enforce their statutes. And that's what Vice President Harris was attacking. The other thing, Rick talked about a compassionate immigration policy. We work in this space all the time, Jay, the refugee space, the asylum space. You know what the compassionate policy is? One that's orderly, one that's clear, yep, one that's enforced, so that real applicants can be the ones that are admitted.
All right, folks, we come back. We're going to continue to take more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Now, I would imagine that Joe Biden will receive some questions about this today in his first press conference, but from this press corps, even though they've been upset about not getting a press conference, I think he'll just defer to the vice president now, and, you know, what's their follow-up going to be? Well, he's going to follow up with that. It makes it an easy answer for him, which is probably what the White
tomorrow
House. Yeah, yeah, we'll cover all that tomorrow, but we're taking your calls today at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To Seculo, we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This again, I think that take a listen to Senator at the time, Senator Harris, now Vice President Harris, during the primary debate, which is running for president, Byte 36.
I will also immediately put in place a meaningful process for reviewing the cases for asylum. I will release children from cages. I will get rid of the private detention centers.
That all sounds great, but in 2 months into her time as vice president, there's 680 kids in a facility built for 84 people, and they are paying for private detention in hotels.
Right.
So they're with our taxpayer dollars. So they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to pay for private detention, and they've still got the kids in these tiny facilities built for 80 people where there's 600, which is disgusting.
It is disgusting. And it begs the question. I want to go to Harry
especially
on this
during
first.
A pandemic.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out the policy. So let's talk about what the policy should be, not what the policy is, because I don't think there is a policy. Should the policy be?
Well, number one, we should reinstitute immediately the Remain in Mexico policy. Number two...
Explain to everybody what that is, Harry.
Well,
I think people need to know.
Essentially, with the Remain in Mexico policy, an individual who claims asylum in the United States, claims asylum, but remains in Mexico until their case is properly adjudicated. Secondly, the United States should... reinstitute the Trump policy with respect to the Northern Triangle countries, which is they don't receive U.S. aid unless they are helpful in stemming the flow of undocumented illegals into the United States. Number three, the Biden administration needs to take a cue or two from Mexico's president, who recognizes that it's the reversal of Trump's policy that has accelerated and incentivized the flood of immigrants into the United States. And so I think if you did all of those things within a week, you would find that the border crisis would be over.
But we've got a demoralized, on top of all that, though, we have a very demoralized agent. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Jay, that's right. I mean, when you say that the enforcement of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents are the equivalent of the hangman and the killers and the race baiters of the Ku Klux Klan, and you're going to go down and work with them, that ain't going to happen. They're not going to have any respect for you. They're going to be demoralized. They're going to think that this is the person that's supposed to help me enforce the laws of the United States and has called me nothing but a Klansman. That's not going to work, Jay. It's not going to work.
Let's go to Ken in Minnesota, online 3. Hey, Ken, welcome to Seculo.
Yeah, Jordan and Jay, good to talk with you. I just wanted to share a comment with you. I'm a Marine Corps veteran of Vietnam, and I'm
reminded
that freedom is at stake here, and freedom is never free. But one of the famous quotes from former President Reagan, and I was in Washington, D.C. at the time he was in office, was this, and I think it's appropriate given what's happened, is that in this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Well, I think, look, I mean, government could be the solution to the problem. I think it's different because law enforcement is government, and the need for law enforcement here is clear. It's just, if you go with what Andy and Harry have said, what Jordan has said, we've all said, if you don't have a clear policy, and if you're afraid to, I said this the other day, if you're afraid to point out the problem and call it what it is, you're incapable of fixing it. And that is the problem here. It's not where government couldn't be effective, it's they're not letting government be effective.
This is all the root cause, putting this on the root cause. Yes, we know that conditions, life in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador is not like the United States. But there's a lot of people hurting in the United States right now economically. People are barely hanging on. I mean, that's how they just sold their giant stimulus, right? So you've got to put the American interest first to even think about that second point, which is how to deal with the root cause. Now, the Trump administration had a program in place that made it financially beneficial to those countries to keep their people inside their borders. But if they didn't do it, they didn't get the money. Now, Joe Biden's tried to twist it around and say, well, there was all this money left in the account that didn't get paid out, so it's Trump's fault. You can't. This is Joe Biden's fault. This is the Democrat Party's fault. It is his administration's fault. There was not this kind of problem. And when there were surges, they were dealt with.
Well, here's the.
They were dealt with tough. They were dealt with actual law enforcement that felt the backing of the President of the United States. But listen to Joe Biden try to push it on to Donald Trump and try to say, oh, there's money left in an account somewhere. I don't even know if he knows what he's talking about.
Unfortunately, the last administration eliminated that funding, did not engage in it, did not use it, even though there was over $700 million to help get this done. We're reinstituting that program. And there are, as I said, there are many factors as to why people leave in the first place.
Here's what scares me, Than. If they get rid of the filibuster, okay, and you've got a 50-50 Senate, but the tie vote is the vice president because she is the president of the Senate, what is the bill we'd be looking at?
Jay, let me answer that in just a second. Let me first just give the facts about what that statement that was played, that the funding had been eliminated. There was $615 million that was reviewed by the Trump administration in 2017 because they had to comply with what Jordan said. Those countries have to cooperate with enforcement if they're going to get that money. They did a top-to-bottom review. Jay, they still released $432 million because they were compliant on that portion. They eliminated the rest, and they said, we won't give you another dime unless you meet the criteria. That is what's called following the law. We discussed that with the Taylor Force Act just the other day. That was the proper move by the Trump administration. Unfortunately, President Biden doesn't know what he's talking about there. Jay, to answer your question about if the filibuster is removed, the law that you would get would look an awful lot like the soundbite you've been playing from Vice President Harris. It would look like open borders. It would look like decriminalizing illegal entry. And, Jay, the categories of entry that should be increased, things like asylum and refugee and high-skilled workers, those would not be getting increased.
So, again, you think about – put it all together. Let me take another phone call, 1-800-684-3110. So it's a shift. You kind of blame Trump. I mean, how do you blame the guy who's building the wall? And it was Kamala Harris who joined the filibuster to prevent money from going to the wall. We have that soundbite, you know, which would have, by the way, it may be a tweet that she had sent out, but it was she didn't like that $25 billion was going to the wall, though it would have put the Dreamers on a path to citizenship. So for them, it's all politics.
Yeah, because
they don't care about the people.
Hey, I'll give the $25
million
to get
the people in cages.
Right.
They love the scene, and so they tried to still blame it on Republicans. though they've stood in the way of every single attempt to try and reform immigration.
There was a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers, which I actually understand it and support. I think you have to deal with this in a constructive way, and getting them as taxpaying citizens, ultimately, I think, is the way to do it. But putting that aside, you're not going to self-deport 40 million people or 20 million, whatever the number is. I don't think we have any clue what the number is. But let me take it a step further. I mean, this whole idea that you veto the bill that would have solved that problem because of what, $25 billion? Was that the number for?
$25 billion she didn't like.
$25 billion, which in the federal budget, Harry, is $12.13.
Absolutely. And it pales in comparison, for instance, with the most recent COVID-19 relief bill. But I think at the end of the day, people like Vice President Harris, she believes strongly in open borders. In other words, yep. No rule of law that protects U.S. sovereignty. I also think that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do not really believe fundamentally in the United States. They don't believe that we should remain a sovereign country. Instead, they believe that U.S. sovereignty and nationhood must be sacrificed to progressive ideology and progressive policies. And so the only altar to which progressives are willing to bow their knee to is the God of the state, and in this particular case, a lawless state.
All right, when we come back from the break, it's our last segment of the broadcast, so we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Get your comments in on Facebook and on YouTube as well, and we'll get to those. 1-800-684-3110. We've got some people that have been holding for a while, so we promise to get to you. We're just giving you a lot of information, and we're trying to give you some solutions, too. That's what we do at the ACLJ. And we'd be prepared to challenge a lot of this. And that, you know, some of this may be executive order. I don't know. We're going to see how it goes. But we're on top of it. Our teams in Washington, our media teams are on top of it. We're going to stay engaged in this. That we can assure you. All right. Support the work of the ACLJ. Jordan's going to give you the details. Let me just say this. March and April, two big months for the ACLJ. And so far, we're doing great because of your support. But we have a big stretch goal for this month. Really big stretch goal. And we want to get there. And your support of that really makes a difference. And Jordan's explained to you exactly how that matching challenge works.
Yeah, so we've got a group of donors that say they will match every donation that comes through in the month of March to the ACLJ. But you have to make it in the month of March. If you go to aclj.org, you double the impact of your donation today. So it's really like a $50 donation is like $100 for the ACLJ because it triggers that other donor's matching support.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And let's go to David, Indiana first. Hey, David, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks, Jordan. Listen, I'm about solutions, and I want to talk about solutions. I was civil engineer for 28 years in the Air Force, and we built everything all over the world. And Teddy Roosevelt turned the Panama Canal into a military operation because it was so vitally important. The governors, I believe, in Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona need to band together, stand up to the federal government, and figure out how to use CBs, Army Construction Battalions, Air Force Civil Engineers. The problem is they're federally authorized usually. Maybe their National Guard, a little bit of training, but it's not rocket science.
I remember, David, back under Obama, not that long ago, they tried to do that. And the Obama administration challenged them and won at the Supreme Court. And they won with the idea that the Constitution said this authority goes to the federal government. You can't deputize state officers to enforce immigration laws. So Arizona tried to do this. They tried to be the model state. And this, the Supreme Court rejected that. There's been changes to the Supreme Court, but again, so all of that, the law was in place. I mean, they didn't just do it by executive order by a governor. They went through and totally reformed their laws at the state level and ultimately were told, rejected. That idea was rejected by the Supreme Court, and it was rejected in the sense that, well, the Constitution says this is the federal government's role. If the federal government wants to work with the state, they can, but they don't have to. They don't have to. And I don't think the Biden administration is going to be running to allow Republican governors, like the Republican governor of Arizona, who said this, unfortunately, because I think you're right. They could do a lot more, and they have an incentive to do a lot more. But listen to the governor of Arizona's reaction. He's a Republican, Governor Ducey, to the appointment of Kamala Harris to fill this role.
I have been informed that Vice President Kamala Harris has been put in charge of border security. She's about the worst possible choice that one could make. In no point in her career has she given any indication that she considers the border a problem or a serious threat.
Wes Smith is joining us, of course, is senior advisor of military affairs with us and senior analyst, but also is legally trained. And he's got a great piece up called The Border Crisis Continues, What You Must Know. It's at aclj.org, and I encourage everybody to read it. Wes, give me your assessment of the situation, what you're saying in this. They're not calling it a crisis, of course.
No, they still won't. They sort of divorced from reality. You know, I said in the blog that it was a national security issue, an economic issue, and a public safety issue. It is now a humanitarian issue as well, and it's an issue of the administration's own making. For example, thousands and thousands of children are being held in deplorable conditions down there. Over 300 of them have now tested positive for COVID. Yet yesterday, when the administration allowed one pool camera and one reporter who was from NBC to go in and to take pictures, it was at a facility of their own choosing where there were bunk beds and round tables in a cafeteria and a classroom and big screen TVs, and all of these Mexican or Hispanic youth were 6, 8, 10 feet apart. That is not the reality on the border. And, Biden has created several missteps along the way here that not only exacerbated the problems on the border, but created new problems. For example, he canceled the Remain in Mexico policy. Not a good thing. He is refusing to enforce the law that states if someone crosses the border illegally, they can't even apply for asylum. He suspended Operation Talon, which mandates that illegal immigrants convicted of sexual offenses must be deported. He suspended that. 2.1 million illegal immigrants are now eligible for the $1,400 COVID relief monies. The president may as well have sent out an engraved invitation for people to cross the border. While this is happening, Jay, and this is the horrible humanitarian moral part of it, families become victims of drug cartels. Young people become victims of sexual traffickers, and U.S. citizens along the border have their own safety and their property put at risk. This thing is getting worse every day, and it appears that the Biden administration not only has suspended their disbelief, they want us to suspend ours as well and to say that there's not really a crisis going on here. This is a true crisis.
Yeah, Jordan, listen to another
call. The thing is, too, you go back, 8 years? I mean, you could have the same radio broadcast.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because they did the same thing under Obama. Why were there so many children crossing? Why were there so many problems with the cartels? Why was that such a top issue? It's, again, it goes with the terrorism. It goes with the conflict. It goes with the Iran. It goes with the border. You could go through the list of bad policies that we prove are bad policies, but they still don't even come with new ideas. Nothing fresh. Nothing new. I mean, if they got a new mandate for the people, let's say, and they got the Senate the way it's set up, and they still are just going back to the same old junky policies that they know haven't been successful, haven't worked.
If I could say one more thing, too, about the policies. They're saying now that, of course, they inherited this from the Trump administration, and that how horrible it was that President Trump mandated that unaccompanied youth be returned to their home countries. Just yesterday, Kamala Harris says, we can't allow them to make that horrible trek back through Mexico to the Northern Triangle. That's not how they were sent back. President Trump's administration flew unaccompanied children back to the Northern Triangle so they could be reunited with their families. That is one of the other policies that President Biden has stopped, which is why there are thousands of children living in deplorable conditions on the border.
My concern goes back to something we said earlier. Let's go ahead and take the last call, and then we'll
Carol in Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. Yeah, I'm wondering, why can't the neighbors come together and help finish these walls?
Depends on who owns the property. That's the problem. So the government has certain ways of obtaining property that the private citizens don't, Andy. Yeah.
And furthermore, there is a provision under federal law that you cannot accept a gift or gratuity to the federal government. This is something that the government started and the government should finish, and is not something that you can volunteer with a shovel and a trowel and some cement to go out and fix. It's not the proper way to do it. It's not appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, so that's, again, it's all the ideas that people have been in place, whether it's state officials, private individuals. This is the federal government under the Obama administration said, we want to be responsible for all of this. We don't want the states to have a role. We don't want you to have a role. We have to do it at the federal level. And so they fought that all the way to the Supreme Court. Now under Biden, it's the same thing, but they didn't want to acknowledge the crisis. They're still trying to put the focus on what's happening in these countries that people are coming from, and not the crisis of the crime that's caused here. You know, it was President Trump started his first campaign, talking about who was being sent over the border. It's not the best people who are crossing illegally. Rick Grenell was talking about how no one talks about the people who are waiting in line legally from these countries who aren't making illegal crossings backed by drug cartels and terror groups. And so these are not the best of the best. These are not people that would usually qualify for asylum or be allowed in under any of our immigration laws.
That's the problem. They don't meet the legal definitions
for asylum. Kids can't take care of themselves.
Right.
Kids can't take care of themselves. They're not educated enough to get jobs.
Yeah, this is we haven't even gotten into the economic burden this places on our country. And Than just barely touched on it. I mean, didn't have time to really get into it. And I'll give you 15 seconds here, 20 seconds, Than. I don't see Congress doing anything that's going to help any of this.
Congress would rather sit back, at least right, as controlled now by Democrats, and let the Biden administration do this. Jay, there's a lot of things the federal government shouldn't do that it does. This is one that it has to do. It's got a moral obligation to do.
You're right.
All right, support the work of the ACLJ. Our matching challenge continues throughout the month of March. Double your impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. With that group of donors, they're going to match all the donations that come through in the month of March. It's a big month for us at ACLJ. Donate today, ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.